Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
The enemy has been so successful in getting the Word of God out of the picture. Because you see, he knows what we should know, but we're sometimes too stupid to realize. He knows that this is the thing that is going to set people free from his captivity. And so he works overtime to keep people away from this book and to keep this book away from people.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the Gospel of John. Join us as Pastor Brian concludes his teaching on John chapter 17 in a message titled, The Prayer of Jesus. Now here's Pastor Brian.
God only allows Satan to have a little bit of freedom with us in order to work things into our lives that wouldn't be worked into our lives in other ways. But the Lord prayed for us. Think of Peter. Remember what Jesus said to Peter on one occasion? He said, Simon, he said, Satan has asked that he may sift you as wheat. Jesus said, but I have prayed for you. Thank God for that second part. We're no match for the devil. Not a one of us, not all of us even together. We're no match for the devil, but he's no match for the Lord. And the Lord has prayed for us like he did for Peter. And we know with Peter, his faith did not fail because Jesus prayed that his faith wouldn't fail. And Jesus is praying that same thing for us. Keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. You know, we have that phrase that we use, be in the world and not of the world. You know, that's not actually a scripture. It's sort of derived, though, from these verses right here. They are not of the world. We are not of the world, just as Jesus is not of the world, was not of the world. Now, we live in the world, and he said he's not asking us to be taken out of the world. But he's reminding us indirectly in this prayer that we're not of the world. The world is opposed to God. And as we're told by James, friendship with the world is enmity with God. If we're going to become the friend of the world, if we're going to embrace the world, love the world, want to be just like the world, want to participate in everything the world's doing and all of that, we put ourselves in opposition to God because the world is in opposition to him. We as God's people, we live in this world, but we're not part of the system. That's what it's really referring to. It's not referring to the world in the sense of the earth itself and nature and all of that. It's referring to the system in the world, this system that's against God, the system that denies God, the system that seeks to live independent of God, lives in rebellion to God. We're not part of that system. We are subject to God. We're subject to his authority in our lives. We're not of the world. And now in verse 17, Jesus says, sanctify them by your truth. Sanctify, the word means simply set them apart. So something that was sanctified was something that was set apart by God for God. That's the idea. Set apart by God, set apart for God. So Jesus is praying for our sanctification, that we would be set apart for God. He says, sanctify them by your truth. He tells us how the sanctification process works itself out, really. It's by the truth of God. The truth of God has that sanctifying effect upon my life. And now Jesus makes it crystal clear what he's talking about. He says, your word is truth. You see, this is why we do what we do 7 days a week, 24/7, really, because we've got the radio ministry as well. But this is why we do what we do, because we know and believe that the word of God is so vital, it's so essential. to us as God's people, it is the means through which the sanctifying process takes place. And without the Word of God influencing your life, you won't be set apart. It's as simple as that. Because you've got sin in you and you've got sin outside of you, and those two things will collaborate together and they'll keep you in a place of carnality. That's why you have got to have the Word. It's got to come into your life. You need to bring it in personally by meditating on it yourself. You need to have it taught to you by people who are gifted by God to do so. And as that's happening, this supernatural thing is going on where God is taking care of that sin inside of us, and He's blocking that sin outside of us, out from us, and He's setting us apart for His glory. There's not a single mature, spirit-filled, dynamic Christian on the planet that isn't a person who has a serious relationship with God's Word. And there isn't a person on the planet that has a serious relationship with God's Word that's not a mature, dynamic, spirit-filled believer. So if you're not that tonight, guess why? You haven't connected with the very thing that God uses to sanctify us. It's His Word. And so, again, the prayer of Jesus, sanctify them by your truth. Your Word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. So, again, of course, He's speaking specifically here of those men. He's going to send them out. And He says this, He says, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. And what He's saying here is, He's saying, Father, sanctify them. And then He's saying, I sanctify myself. The fact that He sanctified Himself is the guarantee of our sanctification as we come into contact with His Word. Sanctification is a reality that will happen in your life. Now, there are people today who say, well, you know, I tried that. I tried Jesus. I tried the Christian thing. I went to church. I read the Bible, and it didn't work. Listen, if that's what you think, if that's what you believe your experience was, the fault is with you and not with God. You haven't really truly done what God called you to do. Maybe you haven't really repented. Maybe you haven't taken a serious approach to God's Word. Maybe you're still trying to hold on to something, and you know you're denying that it's even there, but the reality is it is there, and you just simply don't want to let it go. You're trying to have God on your terms. There's going to be something that's there. If this truth of sanctification is not happening in your life, it's not because God is not able to sanctify you. It's because you, in some way, shape, or form, are preventing that from happening. Because Jesus sanctified Himself for the very purpose that we would be sanctified. His sanctification is the guarantee of our sanctification. See, sanctification is guaranteed if you do what God says to do. You know, we as human beings, we are sinners. And you know what we can do as sinners? We can deceive ourselves so easily. We can think we are sincere, we are pure, we have given everything over. And you know what? We can be dead wrong about all of that. That's how sin is. It's a deceptive thing in our lives. And I will tell you, I have sat and talked to people who I can see clearly they're in sin. It's blatant. It's obvious. And I've had people tell me, oh, you don't understand at all. No, are you kidding? In sin, I am more right with God than I've ever been in my life. I love God. God's leading my life. God's the one who's telling me that I can live this way. That is a delusion. And what happens is sin comes in, and sin deceives us, and then we can become delusional, truly delusional, thinking that somehow sin is okay, that somehow sin is acceptable, that somehow sin is no longer sin as it was declared in God's word to be. And again, my main point is to say that so many who have said, well, you know, it's God's fault that I'm still in sin. It's God's fault that I'm not sanctified. It's God's fault that all of these issues are still dominating my life. No, it's not God's fault. It's your fault. Because Jesus sanctified himself so that we could be sanctified. And if we're not, then we have got to go back to square one. We've got to get on our faces before God and say, I am a sinner. I am a deluded, deceived man. God have mercy on me. God help me. That's what people need to do today. Not run off to some psychotherapist. Not run off to a different church where the message is a little more friendly. People need to just face their sin and repent, truly. Because Jesus Christ sanctified himself so that we could be sanctified by the truth. That truth will set you free. And you know that truth is right here. It's the Word of God. You know, it's no wonder the devil has always targeted the Word of God. All throughout history, he has targeted the Word of God. He's tried to get people to disbelieve God's Word. He's tried to get people to neglect God's Word. Whatever works. If he can't get you to disbelieve it, then he'll be happy to get you to just neglect it. But he works overtime. And you can see today, if you could just scan the whole church scene all around the world today, you would find that the enemy has been so successful in getting the Word of God out of the picture. Because you see, he knows what we should know, but we're sometimes too stupid to realize. He knows that this is the thing that is going to set people free from his captivity. And so he works overtime to keep people away from this book and to keep this book away from people, to keep it out of the hands of nations, to keep it out of the hands of rulers, to keep it out of the hands of individual people. And I'll tell you what, if you study church history, you'll find that that's primarily what it is. It's a battle for the word from start to finish. And it's not finished yet, and it's still raging tonight. I don't pray for these alone, Jesus said. I love this. But also for those who will believe in me through their word. So that's us. Here's the specific prayer for us. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, keep them by your name. Father, keep them from the evil one. Father, sanctify them. Father, that they may be one as we are one. Now, some people say that this prayer of Jesus has not been answered. And it's evident because of all of the division in the church. But you know, I don't think that's really true. Because, of course, if you're looking at the church, you're looking at this massive body, this visible entity that is not necessarily connected to Christ. And there's a lot of division there. But let's be honest, you can even look in the true body and find that there's some division there. I think that's true. But you know, it doesn't negate the fact that we're one. Even though we might not behave like we are. We truly are one. So we ought to behave like we're one. We truly are one because Christ is in us. The Father is in him. Christ is in me. The Father is in him. Christ is in you. The Father is in Christ. So we really are one. Jesus' prayer was answered. We truly are one. The problem is we don't always behave like that. We don't always act like that. You know, your family unit, my family unit, we are one. You can't escape that. My wife and I have 4 kids. They are our kids, and we have 2 grandkids, and we're all connected. Now, we might get mad at each other, and it doesn't look like we're all that connected at times because we're upset with each other. We've decided I'm not going to talk to them or whatever. But it doesn't take away from the fact that we're still one. And that this is true with God's people as well. What we need to do is act like what we really are. We really are one. But you know, I found this too, and maybe you can relate. I have been all over the world and met other believers. And you know, it's so amazing how you can meet another believer and spend a week with them and feel like you have known them for 10 or 15 or 20 years. You can't do that with any other person, but it's something that happens with believers. Because we really are one. Because Christ is in us. And because Christ is in us, we have this unity that is undeniable, and really it's unbreakable. When I was in Brazil, I met some guys down there, and boy, we spent, you know, 3 or 4 days together, and it just, at the end of the 3 or 4 days, it just seemed like we were best friends. We've known each other forever. Oh, we had so much in common. It was so wonderful. Because we have Christ in common. Because he's in us. One more request in verse 24. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Spurgeon said, this is the reason why people die. Because Jesus said, I want them to be with me, to behold my glory. Quite often, we would rather stay here for some strange reason, beholding all the rubbish and filth and perversion and wickedness around us. But Jesus says, oh, Father, I want them to be with me. Isn't that great? Jesus wants us to be with him. You know, I don't want to reduce this to a totally carnal level, but so I won't use any names, but let's just say some great person threw a party and they were asked this question, out of all the people in the world, who do you want here more than anybody else? And what if they said, you, your name, you know, I want them here. I want them to be part of this. I want them to see what I want them to enjoy this. I want them to experience all. You know, wouldn't we be so proud of that? I mean, we'd be going around telling people, hey, guess who asked me to come to their party? I got a personal invitation. And I found out that I was the first name on the guest list. Well, this is what we're reading about here. Jesus says, Father, I want them to be here with me. I want them to see my glory. I want them to behold this. I want them to experience all of this. And guess what? This prayer was heard, and it will be answered. And it has been answered, and it will continue to be answered. Because we're going to heaven. Because Jesus prayed for us that we would be with him to behold his glory. And now he says, O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I know you. And these know that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. You know, that's an important last statement there. The impression that I got as a kid growing up in Catholicism was that God was mad at me. Jesus was sort of out of the picture. He was up on the crucifix, actually. Mary and the saints, though, they were pulling for us. And, you know, she was the most influential because, after all, I mean, she's the mother of God, and who can resist their mother's wishes? This is what I learned. But the idea behind that is that somehow God is still a little bit perturbed with me. He's still a little bit upset. He hasn't quite got over the sin thing yet. But you know, there's nothing further from the truth. You see, Jesus says right here, I've declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them. God loves you, and he loves me with the same love that he has for his son, Jesus Christ. And we don't have to go through a saint or through Mary or through the mediation of a priesthood and have them, you know, making sacrifice and atonement for us and all of that. You see, that's the thing that Jesus did already. And because Jesus did all of that, we, as Paul said in Ephesians 1:6, have been made accepted in the beloved. You see, God accepts me. He accepts you. I don't need somebody to run interference for me. That's what Jesus did, and that's what he does. Because there is only one mediator between God and men, and that's the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom in due time. And so, God loves us. His love for us is the same love he has for Jesus. And Jesus is the apple of his eye. Jesus is his well-beloved. And so are we. And this prayer communicates that to us.
For the month of November, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled The Case for Christmas by Lee Strobel, a former atheist and journalist who investigates the truth behind the mysterious events surrounding Christmas. This book takes a fascinating look into the Christmas story recorded in the Gospel of Luke and describes how an angel announced to a ragtag group of shepherds that a Savior, who is Messiah, had been born in the town of David. Was this a hoax, hallucination, or was it the pivotal point of human history? The incarnation of the living God. Join Lee Strobel as he investigates the Christmas story and asks, is there any credibility to the accounts of Jesus' birth, or are they merely legends as skeptics claim? The Case for Christmas is the perfect gift for believers that want to reaffirm their faith, or for seekers looking for guidance as they pursue solid answers about this miraculous occurrence. The book invites readers to consider why Christmas matters in the first place. We encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com to order the book, The Case for Christmas by Lee Strobel. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book as our way of saying thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the Gospel of John. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.